Insights.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to our program Insights. I am Anubha Rohatgi, and the topic for today's discussion is India's export-led growth, opportunities and challenges. And to share his views on this topic, I'm now joined by economic analyst Shubhmoy Bhattacharjee. Mr. Bhattacharjee, welcome to Akashvani's Insights program.
Thank you.
Mr. Bhattacharjee, India has drawn up a $2 trillion export target by 2030-31. This includes $1 trillion each in merchandise and services exports. Given the present geopolitical situation that's impacting economies around the world and in a negative way, would you call this target ambitious, or the fact that despite these negative economic winds, India remains the fastest growing economy in the world, is this export target achievable?
Of course, we are talking about the Union Minister, Mr. Piyush Goyal, target for setting up a $2 trillion exports by 2031. Now, to put it in perspective, we've already reached quite a bit. We are already somewhere near 750 in terms of goods and services. So yeah, it's not, as you see, a very hugely ambitious target. Rather, it's something that is a target which has been shaped by our current performance. And when we say current performance, we are also looking at a very difficult situation that's happened in the world economy. Despite that, the Indian economy seems to be able to keep up its export buoyancy. So this is the condition, or this is the environment in which he has said that we will be looking at the $2 trillion target, which is, as he says, is achievable with disciplined execution, real-time monitoring, and lots of coordination and everything. So yes, certainly we can think about it in those lines.
So let me just share with our listeners that India's total exports for the financial year 26 were a record high of $860.1 billion. And within this, the merchandise exports were at $441.78 billion, while services were at $418.31 billion US dollars. So, Mr. Bhattacharjee, that it is quite achievable. And Union Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal, he has said that the achievement of the export target will be based on three key pillars. You just mentioned them in your answer just now. Can you elaborate on those a little more?
I mean, there's a reason why the minister talked about it, because he says that if we are going to be able to move towards that sort of a target, then we would need to have a clear action plan. And that action plan is essentially what he's talking about as the key pillars. So first of all, each sectoral action, which means that for any sector to be expanded, any sector's export potential to be harnessed, any sector's export challenges to be addressed, there will be a nodal joint secretary. And this will be classified on the supply side or demand side. Along with that, what he's saying is that there should be an interdepartmental coordination. The second pillar, which is the basically ensuring that the supporting ministries, departments, who are each identified for the task, to ensure there's an effective resolution of export-related issues. Let's take an example. Supposing some agricultural export is going along to some market. Now, while it's been doing so, there could be an issue about what is the customs, for instance, rules for exports. We also be something that is a challenge, I mean, a laboratory testing, which comes under the Ministry of Commerce. So one is from the Finance Ministry, one is from the Commerce. However, the nodal ministry for this sector is the Agriculture Ministry. In that case, all the three ministries have to be together to ensure that there is a tangible support for exporters, which would allow them to therefore spend more time in developing their markets, in developing their business, rather than running around to create compliances. So that is the second pillar. Third pillar is basically to create a situation where there's an IT-enabled monitoring platform to facilitate regular tracking of progress with an automatic escalation mechanism for review at the levels of from the secretary and from the secretary to the minister.
Right.
So you can see that there is a series of steps which are very clearly thought through that makes it possible, as I said, for exporters to be able to push their business rather than push for compliances. It's been one of the major challenges for Indian trade, and this is what the minister was addressing.
So which sectors are expected to drive the largest share of the export growth? Apart from the traditional, you know, sectors where India exports, are there any sunrise sectors as well that could make significant contribution to our exports in the next few years?
Well, you know, the nature of our exports themselves have changed. For instance, at one time, we were talking of gems and jewelry. There was also the textile sector. Today, for instance, one of the biggest exporting sector is the engineering goods. Now, engineering goods was not something that was India's port for quite some time. But if we look at the engineering sector is now doing a very substantial movement. In fact, if we look at the data, you would see an engineering sector is now one of our fastest growing sectors. In fact, it has gone up to something like 116 billion or so of trade, which is a massive amount of trade, which wasn't possible earlier. So these sort of things, which was something which was not thought of earlier and having become big, also helps create new areas for development, because engineering by itself carries a huge swath of sectors within it. So that is happening in terms of what we should say is the development that we are seeing. For instance, we are talking about exports of mobiles. India has now emerged as one of the largest exporters of not just mobile assemblies, but of the mobiles themselves. In fact, about a fifth of the world's mobile exports is now coming from India. But these are absolutely new ideas, absolutely new thoughts, or rather absolutely new potentials which have been discovered. And they are creating opportunities where none was there a few years ago. Where India is doing very majorly is defense. You know, a lot of support to the development of the defense sector. And defense enterprises, of course, they have a long runway in the sense that they take time to develop and time to produce the goods. But that is going to be a very major export area for India going ahead. So all of these makes the Indian export market very interesting. Right. In fact, there are lots of other aspects too in that second case we can talk of. For instance, hydrogen, the green hydrogen that we are talking about. India is developing about a 5 million metric tons capacity of green hydrogen. And now that's one of the largest sources of green hydrogen for the shipping sector across the world. And those are coming up in different ports. And they will in turn be very major markets export commodities for India going ahead.
So apart from the traditional markets, or rather traditional products that India has been, you know, exporting so far, there are a lot of new areas where India has already expanded its exports and is continuing to do so. My next question to you, Mr. Bhattacharjee, is that the MSME and the agriculture sectors are very crucial to our exports. So apart from the existing government schemes and incentives for these sectors, what else in terms of policies and initiatives needed to support them to scale our exports?
Quite a lot, actually. The MSME sector has actually been, it's not just now, but they've been regularly been one of our major exporters.
Yes, almost 40% of our exports come from the sector. Yeah.
So for instance, we have got the sub-schemes like the Niryat Protsahan, which is access to trade finance. And there's other program called Niryat Disha, which was the market access. So both finance as well as access, because access is a difficult thing for MSMEs because they don't have the research capacity to be able to finance these sort of, find out new markets for their products. So if the government does that work for them, that works a lot to give them the ability to touch new markets. Along with that, they would also need finance. So this Niryat Protsahan, which is access to trade finance through the different organizations like Exim and NABARD and SIDBI, gives them the opportunities to, you know, touch on these sectors, these potentials. And within the export finance, of course, there's a long range of support programs that keeps on coming along. Support, even for testing, inspection, support for warehousing and logistics, inland transport. There are, as I said, and that is where the interdepartmental coordination comes in, because many of them run across several departments and ministries.
So how critical are free trade agreements or FTAs in achieving this $2 trillion target? Because just this week, we inked a pact with New Zealand. In fact, over the last few years, New Delhi has made around 9 major deals across 38 countries. And according to the minister, Mr. Goyal, India expects to finalize 6 to 7 new FTAs over the next 2 years.
Oh, that's right. And these are potentials and these are possibilities and these are going to be worked out by the government. I have got no doubt about it. Already, they have worked out such major trade deals with the EU, with the UK, with Australia, New Zealand, UAE, and Oman and all those countries. So definitely, there's going to be more. Also, what's happening is that through these FTAs, India is basically signaling that it's not a high tariff country.
Right.
You know, because exporters need goods, imports at cheap rates. If they have to be getting those at the cheap rates, then it's essential that India, of the Indian economy, allows them to import the products that they need,
yes,
to be able to process them, be able to export outside. So those are definitely very strong, what I should say, force builders, each one having a separate, what I should say, focus on a thrust. And that will be what the Indian economy would be looking forward to in the months and the years to come.
How significant is the role of bodies such as the Export Promotion Councils and the Export Promotion Mission for India to achieve its export ambitions?
Well, I mean, as we were touching on, the export promotion missions are already, I mean, one of the major roles is their work in relation to the MSME sector. And as you've seen, the export promotion missions are very strongly useful for the MSME sector, both through, as we talked about, the export finance schemes as well as the export access. Both these provide very good examples of what these missions could do and are being made to do. There are also lots of other things within those export promotion missions, which are the things like interest subvention, credit assistance, or collateral support. All of these have their own role to ensure that an export is very competitive. It's not possible otherwise, and they therefore play a lot of roles to make it up. Of course, we've got the Export Promotion Councils also, which provide the, you know, studies on the different markets. They bring, I mean, the concerns of the exporters to the respective governments. They provide the understanding of what different markets would need, and therefore provide alternatives for the governments to explore.
So setting an export target is one thing, but to turn this into reality is another. What, according to you, are the biggest challenges that could impact this target?
So what the minister has talked about is basically both the opportunity as well as the challenge, because development of exports is very necessary for India in this globally turbulent time. To keep our growth rate high for a considerable number of years, as we look about for our target of 2047 or 2050, where we're talking about pushing India into the middle income league, it means a sustained high growth rate. And that sustained high growth rate cannot come unless exports really boom. An economy cannot be inward looking for it to be able to realize the potential of exports. So therefore, making exports happen is not just desirable, but it's a necessity.
So when I talk of challenges, I mean challenges coming from, because as we're saying, the present situation globally, if you look at it, there is a global slowdown, there is protectionism in the form of tariffs and so on and so forth. So when we talk of challenges, that's what I want you to expand upon. What are those challenges that India may encounter and which may impact its export growth?
Anubhav, it's very difficult to talk about except to say that for the past 10 years, the world economy has hardly settled down. There's been one or other crisis after another. And frankly speaking, it's not possible for any economy to be able to forecast what is going to be the next challenge. Because there's so many moving parts in the world economy, so many issues. We, frankly speaking, but no country can sort of anticipate the challenges that would come. What we can instead say that what should be our responses. The responses are clear. And that is what the minister was talking about. That what are the responses that we always need to be ready with? And those responses will be pushed irrespective of which way the challenges come, what is the scale of the challenges, how long would these challenges last. For instance, diversifying our import basket or diversifying our
export basket.
Diversifying both the import basket as well as the export basket are both essential to ensure that we manage to keep our exports ticking high. For instance, if our imports are focused only from very limited number of countries, if there's a disruption there, then immediately the consequent downstream exports get affected. And let's example, for instance, whereas we have been successful. I mean, last year, there was a huge pressure on the Indian shrimp exporters. Shrimp export was largely focused on the US market. But, I mean, surprising everybody, our shrimp exports have actually grown this year in spite of that huge damage. And not only that, it has diversified into very series of new markets.
Right.
And that's an amazing story of how Indian exports can actually diversify, expand in a period of crisis. So that's something that's a very fantastic case study.
Mr. Bhattacharjee, thank you so much for joining us on Akashvani's Insights program and sharing your views on India's export-led growth, opportunities and challenges.
It was a pleasure.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Insights. Thank you.